No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot, that is me. Along with Captain Dennis, we're going to be your crew today. Ed and Keith. Well, Ed is, he's still harvesting stuff. Plants and things and
therapy,
weeds and yeah, beans. He says beans, but I'm thinking, you know, he's jumping on that whole Colorado bandwagon. But he's in Illinois. It's not legal there, right?
Nope, not yet.
Okay, so we'll assume he's operating above the law, regardless. But he is threatening to be back next week. We'll see how that unfolds. So look, this is the aftermath of Hurricane Florence. All the water and stuff is crazy. You know, the stories are still coming out, and we'll cover that accordingly as much as we can, as the, you know, the stories percolate through the internet and stuff. And I'm sure we're going to find that general aviation stepped up in a big way to help out as much as they could, and those stories will start to happen. But some of the more comical things, if there could be such a thing, has been the news reporting. You know, obviously a lot of reports already from people complaining like, oh man, they're overblowing it on the news on CNN and Fox and MSNBC. It's a crazy round-the-clock stuff that we saw. And, you know, they got to do what they got to do. I'm not going to knock them necessarily, but they don't necessarily get it all right, do they, Dennis?
No, I would think getting it wrong is probably more common.
Yes, and that's where the... Yeah, you know, where you can find some humor in some of the reporting for sure. Obviously, everybody being blown away on those live shots is that's one thing, and that happens every time. But the aviation connection, there's a meme floating around where the weather guy, what is he's from CNN, I believe. Is that right?
Yeah, pretty sure it was a CNN, the talking head there, tried, you know, talking about, you know, the hurricane coming ashore and the hurricane hunter airplanes that they have flying into that to gather information.
Yes.
And I just think he didn't have all of his information.
Yeah, I'm not sure how he got confused, but he basically said a jet could not fly into the hurricane, but a prop plane could. Is that what he said or what? How did this
something,
go?
Yeah, something to that effect. He was trying to, you know, I think from what he was saying, he was trying to imply that the hurricane winds were so strong it would blow out a jet engine and only the propeller engine could keep running. Which makes no sense considering that the propeller airplanes that they're flying into those hurricanes are powered by a jet engine. They're a turboprop.
Turboprop hurricane chasers airplanes, yeah. So
but
he didn't
I think
quite
NOAA
have-
actually, yeah, well, I don't think he had his information because NOAA also has Gulfstreams and other aircraft that are, you know, equipped with instrumentation to go in and get wind speeds and pressures and things like that so they can kind of, you know, gauge the strength of the storm and help predict where it's going to be heading. So, yeah, just another case of, you know, trying to look cool and look smart and doesn't have all of his facts.
Epic fail. Yeah.
Big time.
You know, us aviators know this kind of stuff. So when they try to act like they know and we know they don't, well, you know, it doesn't come out as well for them as they initially thought. So that's one circulating out there on the world of memes, I guess. And you can find it humorous if you're an aviator. Or just know, like, hey, I'm smarter than you, so suck it, loser. That's kind of how I look at it. Because, you know, we are like a step above of the typical person that doesn't have that aviation background. You hear what I'm saying? We have a superpower, Dennis.
Yes, we can fly.
That's right.
Well, at least some of us can.
Well, okay, I'm working on it. But still, I knew that. I was like, what's he talking about? What do you mean? Yeah, anyway. So that's one thing. So more of those, you know, tidbits will circulate out there, and we'll cover them accordingly, or give them the abuse they deserve. But we got some other aviation news and information to cover. We got to talk about the story that actually is a couple weeks old now, and I've been meaning, I wanted to talk about it last week, but honestly, we got sidetracked with Captain Mitch ejecting from his. F-15, which was quite a story, by the way. If you didn't catch it, get a listen to last week's show. It was pretty impressive. But there was this 17-year-old girl, and I think that's right. She was 17, and she was on one of her first solo flights, I believe. Is that right? She wasn't. She
I
was
think
still
it was
a
her actual. Yeah, I think it was her actual first solo. So.
She was a student pilot flying solo. And, you know, I've told the story how the flight controller told me to a 360 on the final approach. And that wasn't really ideal. I did it what she said. I didn't know I was supposed to tell her, hey, no, unable. But she was a student air traffic controller as well. So it was a bad combo. But, hey, I got through it fine. And, learning has occurred. However, in this case, her situation was a little bit more intense because on her solo, her wheel fell off. One of the three wheels on the landing gear fell off of her airplane or something, or broke off or something. And she had to perform an emergency air, landing on two of the three wheels. And she's a student pilot on one of her first solos, or maybe the first solo, I don't know. And I just can't imagine this scenario. I don't know what I would have done in that case, but obviously she freaked out, she said, a little bit, and they talked her through it, and she came down, and she landed and did a perfect landing, and it's remarkable. I mean, what do you think of that, Dennis?
I was impressed. I listened to the entire ATC transcript, they actually had the live ATC recordings of her talking to air traffic control, and you know, you could hear her breaking up a little bit as she, you know, was kind of scared and nervous, but air traffic control did a wonderful job of calming her down. She did a wonderful job of handling a very stressful situation. They got necessary resources. They got her instructor up into the tower cab to just remind her, we've been through all this. Fly the airplane just like you would any other time. Set your power settings here, put your flaps in, do everything. Mm-hmm. And she set that thing down, and he was telling her, look, you got a little bit of a right crosswind, which is going to help you because you're going to want to keep that wing up more on your landing anyway. She touched down. Obviously, when that wheel was missing, once that hit the pavement, of course, you know, she kind of lost a little bit of control, but he warned her to prepare for that and be on the brakes, and she did the best she could to keep it, you know, keep it controlled as much as she could until it came to a stop.
Yeah. I mean, and the plane looks like it's in pretty decent shape.
I'm sure they'll fix it.
Yeah. Maggie Taraska. I probably am not saying her name right, but this happened at Beverly Regional Airport in Portland, Maine. So, Maggie, I mean, just remarkable. And I don't know, did she say anything about whether or not she's going to continue her flight instruction or, well, okay, I think I'm going to give this a pass for a while. I
mean, no, she did say that she's definitely going to get back in the saddle, but it might take a day or two while she decompresses.
I'm guessing she might want to take a cruise to the Pacific or something and clear her head a little
bit.
But
think about it this way. How many pilots in their career have experienced, you know, a major failure like that? She's got it out of the way. She's probably going to have a perfect career the rest of her life.
Yeah.
Well, I will tell you,
that's always in the back of your mind as a pilot in training. And I, you know, when that happened to me, when I did my solo, I think it was my third solo or something. I don't remember exactly. Ed keeps correcting me. But the flight controller told me to do a 360 on the final, which is something I'd never done. And I hadn't really got through that part where they had ingrained in me. Remember, you're the pilot in command. If flight control tells you to do something that you haven't done, you're supposed to tell them, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm unable, and I'm the pilot in command. That hadn't been ingrained in me at that point.
And yeah, you're still used to just taking instructions, whether it was your instructor or the tower, you would just follow what they tell you to do.
Especially from a female. I mean, I'm married. Right. I've been married for almost 30 years. So when the wife tells me to do something, I mean, I'm just programmed that way. Yes, ma'am.
You ask yes, right. And how high and on the way down.
Exactly.
Right?
And I got through it, but it was a learning moment for me for sure. But I had always, you know, when you're going through that training process, you have this stuff in the back of your mind when you're learning to fly the plane initially. And I remember having this conversation with Ed and Keith because we learned in, you know, this 172 Cessna that was, you know, it was fairly old at the time. It's been kept up very nice, and obviously they maintain it well. But I remember first thinking, like, gosh, this is an older airplane. You know, these things ever, you know, fail? And I remember having this conversation with Captain Keith, and I asked him, because it was actually his plane. I said, so has this thing ever not worked? You know, has you ever had one of these scary situations up in the air? He goes, no, never. This thing has just been rock solid. And I kid you not, literally the next day, the magnetos failed and they had to do an emergency landing. And I'm like, what? I thought you said this thing never fails. Well, it hasn't until now, until after you got in it and broke it or something. You jinxed us. But I wasn't in it at the time, and I was very thankful for it. But still, made for a good story, right? Maybe.
Exactly.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder. Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
Need to replace that old Garmin? Need a new GPS for your plane? No matter what you fly, Avidyne has you covered. Since 1994, Avidyne's been a market leader in the design of intuitive displays in avionics. The mission has always been to use innovative technology to improve safety and increase aircraft utility. Go to Avidyne.com to find a dealer in the solution for you. That's Avidyne.com or call 1-800-AVIDYNE. Avidyne. For pilots that know the difference.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Captain, cabin's ready and doors are closed.
All right, gentlemen, it's time to get high. And also fly this old bird. Just a little captain's joke. I never get high when I'm flying unless I mistime the edible. Another captain's joke.
Don't you want to get away to a whole new part you're going to play? Because I, oh, yeah, suddenly we're free to fly. We're going to the other side.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Dennis. We are your crew as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. And share a few flying stories with you as well. Like the one that I had, well, I wasn't in the plane, but I was the day before doing one of my solo flights. And I was, after that flight, I talked to Keith. I said, does this plane ever have any problems as old as it is? This 172 from, like, I don't know, 1972 or something. But, they maintained it. They have to. And it was in good shape and stuff. He says, no, this plane's been rock solid. And sure enough, the very next day, and he doesn't tell me the day it happened, Dennis, by the way. He told me like 3 or 4 days later after the incident.
Well, they had to work up time to figure out how to blame you for it.
Maybe. And, it just comes up in casual conversation. And he goes, oh, yeah, we had an incident with Charlie Mike the other day. The magnetos failed on a takeoff. And we had to land the plane, have an emergency landing. I'm like, oh, what? What'd you say? And he tells me, he says, yeah, you know, we got up there and the magneto's acted up. And I said, well, so it stalled? He goes, well, yeah, kind of. And I said, well, what'd you do? And he goes, well, we do what we tell you in training, which is you pitch down, get your speed back up, land the plane, and get off the runway. ATC didn't even really know there was a problem other than we had aborted a takeoff. And I'm like, okay. And he said when they did that, he said the engine kicked back on, so there was something going on there. It had stalled on the takeoff and stuff. But he says this very calmly. Now, if that would have happened to me, I'm thinking, you know, well, I'm going to need a new pair of shorts.
Code brown.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if I would have handled that very well. I don't know. I would think, you know, I would hope my training would have kicked in, like he said, because that is one of the things we learn, especially on a takeoff. If you lose power, you know, pitch down, get your speed back, and get back down on the runway as quick as possible. And hopefully you'd be okay. And it really wasn't an incident, you know, issue for them. It didn't seem to faze them at all. But, you know, I think about this girl who's 17 years old in that scenario. It just blows me away. I don't know if I would react that way. What do you think? Would you?
Yeah, I'm not sure, because she got actually air traffic control called her and notified her that she'd lost that wheel. And, you know, up to that point, she really didn't have much of an indication. It was a low-wing airplane, so it's not like you can look out and see that on the co-pilot's side of the plane that you're missing a wheel. You know, it's hidden by the wing.
Well, and see, you know how we operate here at Just Plane Radio. If that were to happen to me, I'm like, all right, I know Ed and Keith are standing there right with
They're punking me.
Exactly right. That's hilarious. And it would take about 5 minutes for me to realize they weren't yanking my chain. You know?
And by that time, you'd been around the pattern and probably landed.
I would hope. Yeah, maybe not as well as I would have liked, but I was like, hey, wait a minute, this doesn't feel right. But I don't know. I you know, being a pilot in training, I also, on the other side of the coin, could work to your favor, because you're so zeroed in on trying to do every single thing right, as opposed to, you know, being a seasoned pilot and complacent and not, you know, maybe you haven't practiced your landings in a while. Let alone any kind of emergency power off landing or something like that. So on that side of the coin, you know, being a new pilot might play to your favor. I don't know. What do you think?
It can't hurt. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you take a look and see, everybody's got to do a biannual flight review, right? But how many people do any additional training in between there? And I think you hit the nail on the head. They do become complacent. So if nothing else, maybe it's a wake-up call to go out and schedule some time with a flight instructor and just go out and practice some emergency procedures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and exactly. Make sure that you know what you're doing.
Right, because, you know, anything can happen. She is a perfect example of that, and it turned out very well for her, and God bless her for it. But I don't know. She had a lot of poise. And Maggie, you know, I hope she continues. I hope it doesn't, you know, derail her training like it has for me. So maybe I need an incident like that. No, I don't.
Need that's probably a bit much, but no, maybe you can use her as an example and, you know, a source of inspiration for you
exactly.
To get back into the cockpit. If she can do it, Greg, you can get out there.
Sure. I want to be a 17-year-old girl. That didn't
all
quite
right. No,
sound
we're not
right.
Going there. No, okay. No, no.
Well, anyway, we'll see how things unfold for her. And congratulations, Maggie, and get back in there, learn to fly, and maybe you'll even beat me. That's not much motivation for her.
That's not much of a bar.
Come on, just stop. Let's just move on to other stuff. We had a big fly-in last weekend with AOPA. We're going to talk to Tom Haines. I don't know if we can get him on today, but hopefully next week for sure. But then 2 weeks from today, they have their next one. And where is it? And you're going, right?
That's Carbondale, Illinois. It's being put on by the Southern Illinois University. And so, yep, I'll be going. Got hotel rooms and a spot on the ramp and a rental car. I'm just waiting to go.
Okay. And what have you already mapped out some of the seminars? Because most of those are on Friday, aren't they? Or are they both
right.
Days?
And I had originally planned on just coming down on Friday for the Barnstormers party. But then I saw the schedule of seminars that are going on. And I'm maybe rethinking that. We might wind up going out Thursday now, because Mike Bush is going to be doing a two-part seminar on aircraft owner maintenance, which kind of dovetails nicely with our previous topic.
Which was?
maintaining your airplane, and especially older planes and things like that. And, you know, I think having the owners involved in the maintenance and knowing what's going on, rather than just, hey, something's wrong and bring it to the mechanic, or no, it's been a year, bring it back to the mechanic. I think, you know, as an aircraft owner, as an operator, staying involved and knowing what's going on with your oil changes and preventative maintenance, I think, is very important.
Right. So that's 2 weeks from, well, this weekend.
Yeah, it'll be October 5th.
Yeah. So we're getting into the fall. We're going to start to get into cooler weather there, buddy. So I know you want to go out to do that, but when are you going to come down to Florida before it gets too cold down here? You know what
very
I mean?
Soon after that, I think we're going to start planning a trip, because, you know, I want to get through this AOPA fly-in,
yeah,
and then start looking, see what the work schedule looks like, and try to get down to Florida.
Okay, because, yeah, even, you know, when we get down to October, November, that's when things start changing for us warm water wusses when it comes to scuba diving. You know that, right?
Right.
And do you consider yourself a warm water wuss like me?
You know, I own a dry suit. I've gone out in Lake Superior in 30-degree water, but I'd be honest, I'm starting to really, really like going out in 85 to 90-degree water off of Florida wearing just board shorts and a t-shirt.
Yes. Well, that's what we got right now, but it's going to cool off by October or November, but not by much. Well, there's still a window, so we'll try to squeeze it in there. We don't want to do dry suits. We're bathtub divers.
Right.
We just put on our bath. You know, bathing trunks and go.
Yeah, and by that time, too, your daytime highs have dropped down to something a little bit more reasonable for us northern folks, so we're not going to be sweating to death in 95 degrees and 100% humidity.
You don't like to melt.
No.
You're one of those people. Fair enough. We got more coming up on Just Plane Radio, including how to keep your airplane warm.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Dennis. We're your crew navigating the latest aviation news and information, and then a bunch of stuff that you might just find handy. Like how to keep your airplane warm. Not really an issue for me down here in Orlando where we're based out of, but for Captain Dennis up in Minnesota, you're about to be hit by some weather here in the next month or two that will affect your flying big time. Am I right?
Yeah, old man winter's unfortunately rearing his ugly head. Temperatures are starting to drop. It's starting to get colder in the mornings. And yeah, we're going to need to start thinking about keeping the airplane warm if we intend to go fly it.
Okay. And you've recruited some help up there in your neck of the woods. Doug from Tanis is with us on Just Plane Radio right now. Doug, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing well.
All right.
We, not like you guys, we enjoy seeing the cold weather come our way.
That's right. It's good for business, I'm guessing. Is that what you're saying? Yeah. So.
It is.
You guys make what exactly for airplanes?
Well, Tanis Aircraft Products makes a mixture of items. Most everyone knows us from the engine preheat systems, but we have expanded greatly from just preheating your single-engine aircraft to helicopters, turboprops, commercial, and now cabins and batteries and other critical driveline components in your aircraft.
Got it. So how does that come in handy for you, Dennis? What are you trying to score here, my friend?
Well, I'm not trying to score anything. I actually am a proud owner of a
You already have system. One.
Yes. And if it wasn't for having it, I would not have been flying last winter because the airplane just will not start when it's that cold. And if it did start, it would probably do a lot of wear, unnecessary wear and tear on the airframe.
It'd be bad for your airplane. Does it warm you up too? If you stand next to it?
It warms my heart.
It warms. Yeah,
Greg, that's exactly it. And especially when we have people like Dennis that state how much they enjoy our product. And we've been around for decades. This is our 45th year of producing products for the
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Well, stand by. We got more to talk about why it's so important to keep your airplane warm during the cooler months of the year. Next, right here on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Whoa, kill the motor, dude. Let us see what Squirt does flying solo.
Watch me get ready to fly. Watch me get ready to fly.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Dennis. We are your crew, and we have Doug from Tanis Aircraft right now on how to keep your airplane warm, why it's so important, and I don't know how they came up with this biz. I mean, did you took over the company a few years ago. Is that right, Dennis?
Well, I didn't, but Doug certainly did.
Dennis did. Dennis.
I'd like
difference.
To take claim, you know, credit for it, but I can't. It's that's
okay. Doug's company. Yeah, he's just Dennis is just keeping Doug in business there at Tanis. Is that how it works?
Exactly.
You think,
that's,
Doug?
That's what we love to see. Yeah, yes. I purchased the company in 2012, and the Pete Tanis name, Tanis Aircraft Products. Pete started it back in the early 1970s, really pioneered the product and patented it at that time, and then we've taken it from there.
Okay. And as far as him starting the business many years ago, was it he just saw this need? And because I would imagine this is a very niche market kind of thing, that, or, well, especially for the folks up north, or what? You tell me.
Well, he grew up in northwestern Iowa, and being in the Midwest, and the weather tends to turn at this time of year. The leaves are already starting to turn, and as we all know, all types of engines do not like starting when the temperatures drop below freezing. Mm-hmm. He saw that, and of course, aviation, basically, we have a high-performance air-cooled engine on single-engine twin-engine planes. Many of them are air-cooled. Most of them are air-cooled, and that makes it even more important on the ability to start it, and even one of the taglines we say, you might be able to get started without preheat, but you maybe shouldn't because of all the wear and harm it can do to the engine. And that's when he developed the multi-point preheat system called Tanis Preheat.
I got it. And Dennis, you have to use this starting when, you figure? What's the temperature that you say, okay, I need to pull out the preheater?
Well, anytime it's below about 40 degrees outside Fahrenheit, that's when I need to make sure I got it plugged in. And I've gotten, you know, with the 90s here, and we have actually a remote-controlled outlet in the hangar so that, you know, we don't need to leave it plugged in for weeks at a time if we're not going to fly. But we can always, turn it on, you know, like the night before, and the aircraft will be nice and toasty warm when I come up to the hangar the next day to fly then.
What do you think there, Doug? Is there a threshold like 40 degrees where you need to do that, or does it depend on the airplane, or what?
It sure does, and of course, as a manufacturer, we have FAA's what they call a PMA, number of parts manufacturing authority, and we have several supplemental type certificates. We always refer back to the manufacturers of the engines for their recommendation. And there's a varied amount of information. Most of them say, hey, if it's low freezing or if it's a cold engine, you must preheat. We know, and with our testing, I owned a mechanical contracting firm and a calibration testing lab prior to Tanis, and we know that there is a extreme benefit in preheating your engine when the overnight temperatures start dropping into the 50s and definitely into the 40s. It starts much easier. There's less wear and tear on the engine. You really don't even have to remember what's that cold starting procedure that I have, because it starts like it's in your neck of the woods, Greg.
Yes, it starts like it's all warmed up, ready to go for you.
Ready to roll, yeah. Yes.
TanisAircraft.com, by the way. You can go there and find out about all the products. Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess it depends on the particular model of plane, what product or what preheater you get, doesn't it? Or it's not one size
sure.
fits all, is it?
Well, we have customized it starting in the later on in the 2000s, we have now got it down to, we have basically one kit that will handle all four-cylinder Lycoming Continental Franklin engines, and one kit that handles all six-cylinder Franklin Continental and Lycoming engines. And then, of course, we have diesels, and we have some other variants of that that are separate. But we cover the general aviation industry, the single-engine general aviation industry, with just a handful of kits. But, yes, there are other products right now. We probably do more in the helicopter, turboprop, commercial, and battery heating environment than we do in just the single-engine piston aircraft.
Got it. So do you see a big difference in your airplane when it's preheated up like that, Dennis? Can you actually feel it, or it just starts up way quicker? What do you mean?
No, when you open up the oil door to go check the oil, you can actually feel the heat coming off the engine in the back there. So it's quite nice, because I have an unheated hangar, and there's really no option for me to put one in my little heater. It just wouldn't be cost effective. You know, it's just a tin shed, and there's no insulation, so trying to keep that warm in Minnesota is not practical. But plugging in the Tanis, it's less power than a space heater, and you throw a blanket over the cowl to hold the heat in, and, you know, it
And
just
if you're
right
feeling
up.
A little chilled, you get in there too, or what?
Well, you know, I can cuddle up with the warm blankets after I take them off the cowl.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But so, we did, Greg, we did address that part of the world, too. Everything has pretty much been in the engine, or what we call critical driveline components, because we do also do a tremendous amount of work in the rotor wing side. Of course, your EMS helicopters, when they get a call to lift, they need to be up and going, and that includes gearboxes and critical driveline components. But we've taken it, as we mentioned earlier, even into the cockpit with the glass cockpits. We have a cabin heater that allows that cockpit to be warmed or tempered, so that when you hit master switch, you have a bright display, and it happens to aid in creature comfort, so Dennis doesn't have to wrap that blanket around him just quite as tight.
That looked kind of ridiculous, Dennis. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, but you know what? Creature comforts versus aesthetics, right?
It's better to look good than fly good sometimes. I've heard this. But as far as what you guys do, is that all you focus on is these preheaters for your aircraft? Is that it? Is that what Tanis Aircraft is all about there, Doug?
About 80% of our volume does come directly from the aviation industry. We do utilize the same technology. We manufacture all our parts in Glenwood, Minnesota, which is just south of Alexandria. So we have a test bed outside of our back door in our hangar, and our engineering and sales office is in the northern suburbs of the Twin Cities. And we do make predominantly aviation product. We have the engine heaters, the battery heaters, the cockpit heaters, but we also do provide a fair amount of the silicone heaters, which is basically a resistance heater for other industries, such as battery heat with that provide battery lighting, LED lighting. We have done a lot of work with the oil industry, especially up in North Dakota, where fracking sand sticks to hoppers, things like that. We will warm up chutes. So we have a picture of that. But, yeah, we're a small manufacturer, a little over 10 employees, and we do have quite a few customers that use our product on all their aircraft that are produced. One plug here for a neighbor up north, Cirrus, which is manufactured in Minnesota. They install our product right at the factory, and just about every aircraft that leaves their manufacturing facility has our product already installed on it.
So this is a product you actually you don't just plug it up to the airplane in the hangar. It can be installed into the plane, or it is?
It is installed on the plane, and one of our taglines is just plug it in. We make it very easy to have a power cord, either, as Dennis was mentioning, right by your oil fill, where you check the oil, or your oil fill door, or we have a flush mount plug that can go into the cowl flap or on someplace in the cowl where you can just take in an extension cord. And we mentioned it earlier, it's much less than a space heater. Our four-cylinder system, it draws a little over 200 watts, and our six-cylinder system is about 460 watts. So it's very low energy consumption. And the key of our preheating system is we have an element that goes into each cylinder, and we warm up the oil and the case. So we get the proper airflow and proper oil flow right at startup. We don't have any wearing of the cylinders. We don't have any concern about the battery not being able to have the cranking capabilities because the battery is warm. And probably the key that we've been trying to push out in the industry in the last while is we're the only manufacturer that keeps every item of your engine that's above the oil line. We keep it above the dew point, the internal dew point of the engine, so that while we're preheating, we don't have to worry about the moisture that's inside your engine condensing on any of the components and possibly causing a problem that wasn't intended at that time.
We don't want problems, and that's what they're there to solve. TanisAircraft.com. Check them out. Dennis, thank you so much.
Appreciate it, Greg.
We got more coming up. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
About this time, someone is telling you to get on the plane. Get on the plane, get on the plane. I say, you, I'm getting in the plane. Let Evel Knievel get on the plane. I'll be in here with you folks in uniform.
I be flying high, yeah, I be flying high, shawty. I be flying high, yeah, I be flying high, shawty. I be flying high, it take long to get this fly. If you ain't up on my level, disappear, please don't reply.
Bye. This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me along, Captain Dennis. All right, good stuff today, and we got more aviation news and information to navigate before we wrap it up. You know, we're planning a trip with Dennis and his Mooney 201 down to Florida, so him and I can go do some scuba diving before the season closes down. If it does in Florida, we'll just cruise out to the Caribbean. That's the plan, right, Dennis? It won't
sure,
be a problem
can,
either way.
No,
we're
we'll
make
just
it out.
Pop over to the Bahamas.
That's right. It'll be easy. Easiest pie. But he'll have to come to Florida first, pick me up in Orlando, and then we'll likely have to cruise down to South Florida, say like Fort Lauderdale, or we might need to put a little side trip in Pompano Beach, where we usually like to do some South Florida diving right there in Pompano anyway, because you came across this story with the Goodyear blimp, and they have one down there now. Is that it?
Well, they do. They've had a blimp base at the Pompano Airport for many, many years, and they just Goodyear's actually replaced their blimp fleet with new Zeppelin, actually. They're still calling them the blimp, but they're technically a Zeppelin. They're now a rigid airship.
But so wait, so there's just actually a difference between a Zeppelin and a blimp?
Yep, a blimp is a fabric body. It's not rigid. It's just, it holds its shape just by the pressure of the gas inside, where a Zeppelin has actually got an internal frame in, you know, more of a rigid structure to it.
Okay, so a blimp is just a giant balloon, and a Zeppelin is like one of those things that, you know, the humanity kind of deals.
Yes, exactly. Okay.
And you see the ridges on it and stuff. So that's the new fleet of blimps for Goodyear are actually Zeppelins, not blimps.
Correct.
So it probably makes them more maneuverable, I would imagine. And
actually,
like
they're
that.
Much more maneuverable. They require less ground crew because they actually have motors that they can pivot and actually be able to drive themselves down to the ground, where before they'd, you know, they'd have to get close and a bunch of guys handling lines. So it makes it a lot more maneuverable and easy to control. So we might have to actually try to see if we can get up close and personal with one of those.
Yeah, have you ever been in one of those? Interval. They've had them at AirVenture before, and I have talked to people who said, yeah, if you go talk to them, they'll take you up. They know who you are. Which kind of scares me, but I don't know. Maybe we play that card and they'll give us a ride. You think?
We'll fly in with the Mooney and pull up on their ramp, and you know, hey, we're looking for some new tires. You know, can you tell us? You know, do something like that and try to warm our way into a tour of their facility or something while the security.
Sure, we'll give you a ride to get to buy 8 new tires or some for your surface vehicle. But yeah, that's kind of cool. So we'll have to check out that. Also, some news with 4Flight this week. Now, what have they done?
Well, we talked a couple months back about the possibility of getting your air traffic control clearances to your cell phones, and there was a couple of pilot programs involved. Well, 4Flight's now actually has a service that if you're at, I think it's like 75 airports across the country, so it's mainly the large air carrier airports, but what they're doing now is when you file your flight plan with 4Flight, you can actually get your air traffic control clearance via a cell phone and a text message, and you can also get the airport ATIS delivered directly to your phone. So where you used to have to go and call up your clearance delivery frequency on the ground and, you know, clearance delivery, Mooney 1163 Zulu, like to get our clearance to Orlando, and they'd come back, you know, 63 Zulu, you're cleared to the Orlando airport as file climb maintained 2,500, expect 10,010 minutes after departure. You know, you go through all of that on the air. Mm-hmm. Now they actually deliver that via text message, which frees up that air traffic controller, frees up the ground control position so that they can deal with moving airplanes and not just, you know, reading you your clearance. So this is the future's coming. You know, we're getting these, you know, electronic flight bags, all our flight planning is being done on the iPad. Now air traffic control is able to deliver those clearances directly to you, less chances of errors.
Wow. So that just pop right up in the 4Flight app.
Yep. It'll come right up in the app. It'll also be sent to you as a text to your phone, so you have a copy of it there as well.
Very nice. I like the sound of that. Less talking. Yeah, a radio guy.
Makes a lot of sense. You know, you air traffic controllers shouldn't have to be reading you off that. You know, send it electronically.
Yeah. You know? Then you have to hear it, and then you got to repeat it back to them and blah, blah, blah. I mean, this just having it right there in front of you would make it things a lot easier. You have to, I've written down stuff before. I'm like, well, wait a minute. Is that what did I write there?
So was a golf.
Exactly.
Bravo? Yeah.
So this would eliminate some of those issues as well. All right. Well, finally, we got some drone news, and this could be big. It's a lot of money involved, that's for sure, but what is it?
So a company called Impossible Aerospace was in stealth mode and just showed up on the radar here.
Yeah,
they landed.
Heard of them, right?
Yeah, exactly. But they landed a large chunk of money for initial venture funding, and their whole what they're working on is a drone that has a 2-hour flight time. So the drones that you're seeing today, the DJIs and things like that, are, you know, pretty limited, you know, 20 plus minutes of battery life.
Right.
These guys are going for 2 hours out of the gate.
And I believe, so DJI, the leader in drone, you know, technology in that regard, battery stuff, and they're China, but this company is in the USA, right?
Correct. Wow. And what they're targeting is not the consumer market, you know, that's
at least initially,
yeah. You know, maybe some well-heeled consumers might have a use, but they're going after public safety, you know, fire departments, police, border patrol, et cetera, where they can launch these and have them fly for 2 hours, you know, say looking for a missing hiker. They're equipping them with infrared cameras and regular cameras and other sensors. So I think it's really great that they're going for this extended flight time right out of the gate. And
it's only a matter of time before they'll make the drones where they can just pick you up and fly you wherever you want to go to. They'll be just little handles, you know, like either grab onto you like a robot.
Or we'll just get Captain Mitch's parachute harness and just hook up to that.
Well, you could do that, I guess. That would be a little bit of an abrupt ejection type of approach. But we'll see. Technology could save us from a lot of problems. And on that note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there is no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plain Radio is brought to you by JustPlainRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plain Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlainRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plain Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plain Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlainRadio.com.